don't think shit stink, pink gators, my Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn, that's dead right, if the head right, Biggie there, and I, Papa been smooth since days of Underwood.
Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast. My name is Mark DeVries.
Hello.
I am joined by Miles Ma. Hello. How are you, Miles?
What'd you say?
How are you doing?
Hello?
Stop!
I'm also joined by Jackie Jimenez.
Hello.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Everyone's looking at their phone.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm not important. We're normally a podcast that talks about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the manga and anime and video game franchise from Japan. But it's off air right now. Optimistically speaking, they're taking a break. Pessimistically speaking, it's over. No, that would explain the pause. Now, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Nobody knows what's going to happen with JoJo. So we've started watching other anime and stuff. And Pixar movies.
Just the one.
We watched Shrek a few weeks
April
ago.
Fools.
And this
Shrek
week,
is a DreamWorks movie?
Ah.
Oh, you're right. That
DreamWorks.
Makes sense. Yeah, it can't be Disney.
Ha.
They make fun of Michael Eisner. Mm-hmm. This week, we watched the 2000 anime movie Vampire Hunter D: Bloodlust. Which is not the first Vampire Hunter movie, it turns out. I didn't know this. But there was a 1985 adaptation.
Hmm.
Basically, they're all based on this series of 30 novels by this guy, Hideyuki Kikuchi. Who,
novels?
Yeah. Vampire Hunter D.
They're
books.
Manga?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
That's cool.
He's been writing them since 1985. Or no, since the 80s. And the first movie, which I had not heard of until about 20 minutes ago, was in 85. And then now, 15 years later, in the year 2000, this movie Bloodlust came out, which is based on the third book. I think that was a really roundabout way of saying all of that. But
it's pretty good.
It's very good.
Listeners, if you haven't watched it, you should watch it. Were you going to say, Miles?
Can you guys also tell me... write in and tell me if the books are good, because I would read the books.
Really? Yeah.
If they're good.
Mm.
I tweeted at Bloof, our friend Bloof, who's been on the podcast a few times, who's a big vampire fanatic, and asked if these are good, if she likes these, and she does. She owns a few of the books.
Oh.
Tight.
So it's approved by real vampire heads. I can at least say that. So yeah, this is also, Miles, I think, have you seen the movie Ninja Scroll?
No.
I remember that you and I started watching anime probably in the late 90s, around the turn of the century, and that was a big one. I've seen a few fights from it, but after seeing Bloodlust yesterday, I really want to rewatch it now, because it's the same director. It's not based on the same novelist's work. But before we talk...
Ninja Scroll,
it's like 98. Before we jump in to all of the specifics and take a very academic, scientifically peer-reviewed approach to talking about our feelings on this movie, we're going to just dip a toe into the Correspondence Corner, also known as... Oh, man.
What?
Mentions Mansion. Is that... no one really tweets at us,
Community
but.
Coffin.
Community Coffin. Okay. Communication Coffin or something
coffin.
Like that. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
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 Or, Buddy Borboroi. No, those are... The Borboroi is the group of people. It's not a specific place. Damn it.
Bordello of Blood.
Vampire voicemails.
That's pretty good.
Tales.
Did you say Bordello of Blood, like the
yes.
Tales from the Crypt movie?
Yes. Tales from the Crypt.
Nice. What if it was Tales
emails,
from the Clips?
Emails from the Crypt.
It was just like Pusha D, Bloodlust. Taking a lot of left and right turns. Sorry about that. We have a Patreon, if you didn't know. We have all sorts of shit that, like, social media-wise, if you look up either JoJo's Bizarre Podcast or JJB Pod, you will find us, and we have a Patreon that for $1, you can see us post extra thoughts about the episodes and a mundane photo from our average lives. For $3, I'll read your name on the podcast within the next few minutes. Shit, I have to get the list. And if you pay us $20 one time, we will watch an anime of your choosing, which is what we did here today. Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust was a pick by, I believe, Christian picked this. So I just want to say thank you to Austin, Chad, Christian, Kevin, Martin, Michael, Tim, and Tyler for being $3 a month patrons.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anybody who does not donate $3 and only donates $1 does not get mentioned by name. But you know who you are.
And we still like you.
Yeah, so from last week, we like you. Miles put up a newsletter, basically just explaining all of the sources for the various references that we made. And we got a comment from Chad just about the episode in general, where we watched... What did we watch? What the hell did we watch last week?
What did we watch?
Oh, Cells at Work.
Cells at Work.
Who are we? Yeah. And so Chad left a comment, I guess, trying to be helpful and name some more references. Is that what the context of this is? I didn't read Miles's original post with all the references.
Yeah, it's just all the sources.
Okay. So Chad comments, Allison Pill, who was mentioned during the anime talk, is known by most as the actress that played the character Kim Pine in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Also, Jackie mentioned Hammer Space, which is either a reference to Scott Pilgrim movie/comics or the classic anime Ranma 1.5 that originated the trope of characters being able to grab a large hammer out of thin air for the sole purpose of whacking someone over the head, usually for being rude or stupid. Chad, I'm reading this out loud just to let you know that's not where Hammer Space comes from. It's much older than that. It's like Looney Tunes era cartoons. Like basically since probably close to like the existence of cartoons, there has been this idea of Hammer Space where people like these cartoon characters can just pull out mallets and hammers and, you know, wacky things. Like Tex Avery did a lot of that. I don't know. I'm just kind of
behind their back.
Yeah.
Usually a character just pulls out. And the idea being a hammer a lot of the time to hit the other character in the head with or whatever.
Or hit yourself. And I'm thinking of like the Tex Avery wolf that was always
the horny ass wolf.
That was always after the little Red Riding Hood babe. Red Riding Babe. Who he would just like pull out a hammer from like from his back and just hit himself on the head with it and go like, you know.
I think it was a self insert. I think Tex Avery famously when horny would hit himself in the face with a hammer. Also, why does Tex Avery think that the wolf wants to have sex with Red Riding Hood?
It's a good, I like the take. I think it's a good twist.
The wolf wants to eat her.
No.
Okay.
She's a babe. No. It's a twist.
Okay.
It's a horny twist. Our listeners would appreciate that.
I guess.
Anyway, next time, write about who Tex Avery is in the newsletter.
That's right, Miles. You have to write the entire biography of Tex Avery.
Oh, man.
Cartoon
guy.
What
if I just link to his Wikipedia?
No, not good enough. Anyway, that was our Patreon. It's a thing. Patreon.com/JJBpod. People also write to our email sometimes. jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com is the address. This email is from Gary. I always have to fight not to say like Gary because I think, is that the vault in Fallout 3 where everybody in there is named Gary?
Yes, there's a vault where everyone is named Gary and they all only say Gary like they're Pokemon.
I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before.
They all just say Gary.
It's the creepiest fucking thing and they just like look for you and they're like, Gary. Like that's the only thing they say.
Gary.
And they're all named that.
It's great.
Anyway,
it's
Gary.
It's a good place to be.
Wrote in and the subject line here is title.
Great.
Hey JJ gang, it's Gary. Finally caught up to the latest episode. Really enjoyed your non-JoJo talk, even though I never watched those animes myself. Got a question for you, especially Miles. What do you think is a proper age for a kid to watch JoJo? Even if it's published in a kid's magazine, JoJo is still rather gory compared to other mangas. Would like to know, especially from a parent's view. P.S. Should I steal my mom's credit card and donate to you? LOL.
Don't steal from your parents.
Yes.
No. I was wondering who was going to say yes.
And it's Miles, of course.
And it was Miles. Do not do that. What are we? What are we? Soupy sales?
Miles, you start. When do you
think you should?
Go.
Wait, I think he should let, or this Gary should let his mom listen to this podcast and decide for herself.
Yeah, perfect.
I think you can ask your mom, hey, can I donate to this podcast? And she'll say no. We're not going to fucking donate to a podcast.
You don't know that.
But you know, maybe she's really, maybe she's just like, you know what? I want to support you and your anime. Your anime, I want to support your anime. Hobbies.
Have her call in. We'll make our case.
Yeah. Tell your mom to write in.
You can make the case.
I feel like I started, like, I feel like sixth grade probably.
For like watching JoJo? After that.
Yeah, like watching violent stuff. Like, that's probably when I started watching like DBZ and whatever like other anime was on Toonami at the time. And I'm not sure that this is worse than that. It's bloody, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually watched that anime channel on YouTube, Get in the Robot, did a video called Anime You Can't Watch in Public Part 2. And they cover some of the moments from JoJo that it's like, yeah, that's a lot. Just like Mariah's boobs expanding only for to realize that they're supposed to be a bunch of nuts and bolts that fly at Joseph and Abdul.
It's all magnetic.
Even though it's clearly at first just her breasts expanding. And then suddenly, no, there's a bunch of pieces of hardware being pulled. And once you watch it again, you're like, what are you talking about? And then they also, and the rest of that episode is also just Abdul and Joseph doing fucking various Kama Sutra positions because they're magnetized to each other. They're like 69ing and shit.
I'm going to say 7th grade.
You can be in 6th or 7th grade and understand.
I'm
going to
say 7th grade for JoJo's.
Male on male 69ing. It's totally normal and natural. And
I think, you know what?
I think you start doing that stuff in 6th grade.
Wait. Actually, let me revise. I think.
Miles is shaking his head.
I'm going to revise. One, I think that off the record, I feel like there's two different ages. Like, I think that like there's the age where you can watch kind of sexual and violent things without your parents knowing and it's okay. But like if a parent walks in, like you should change the channel. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like it's still actually okay. I think like sixth grade is okay for that. But like, I think that like, 9th grade is like when your parents walk in and it's like fine,
right? Like a good parent would be like, stop watching that.
Yeah
but yeah, in 9th grade they can't tell you shit, but you're smart enough to hide it because it's not like
I mean, I was watching South Park in like, you know, when I in like 6th grade, you know.
Well, it depends on the material then, because I was watching pornography in 9th grade and I don't think my parents would be like, oh, what's this? What are you into? You know, there's certainly a line that's crossed.
I suppose.
But yeah, I guess as far as like cartoons on TV, yeah. Maybe we're not talking about the same ballpark.
Yeah, it's like if your parents happen to walk in on the scene where like, I don't know, what's his name? Joseph is like staring at Lisa in the bath or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I think if you're in sixth grade, it's not okay. If you're in like 9th grade, it's like, oh yeah, it's just this cartoon I'm watching, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
It depends on your parents, I guess.
Not for my parents. Yeah.
I'm saying I would be cool with it, but what I'm actually saying is like if you're like 11, I'm personally okay with it, but I want you to think that I'm not okay with it if you're my child.
That's,
you know,
right. That's how I feel. This is the dance we do.
it can't be sanctioned.
Yeah. Right.
Like your parents can't sanction it, but it's actually okay.
I don't know how I feel. I'm going to say 18 years old. Minimum. Who wants to read another email? Next one.
Well, it's like aimed at a middle school audience, right?
Like, yeah, it's for young men, young people.
Okay. I'll read the next one.
The Utes.
The next email is from Christian, and the subject is Ain't No Rest for the Wicked. It says, read in Bela Lugosi voice, which is what? Like
he played Dracula.
Like, I want to suck you, like that? Like
you have Chocula? To be Hungarian. Have you seen Ed? Did you see?
People of, the night, like that?
Yeah,
it
you got
I,
it.
Count Dracula. I do not have much to say about this movie beyond what I said about it last email. So I'm just gonna ask you guys, what are all your hopes and expectations for part 6? I've read the manga, so I'll probably be cackling like a vampire at your answers while listening. Another question I have is that would you guys want a demonic talking tumor on your hand like Dee has in this movie? Thank you, Christian. P.S. Every time a vampire says he wants to marry me, I get in his spooky chariot and end up feeling so horny.
Pretty good. Great. I like the words combined, spooky chariot. My spooky like, chariot that's actually like silver, a piece of cloth?
Like silver chariot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spooky chariot!
Okay, so like imagine silver chariot, but like, I don't know.
I mean, that's what Requiem is.
Spooky.
Silver chariot Requiem is just this like creepy...
Oh, it's like a ghost.
...fucking Revolutionary War looking asshole who's really into arrows.
I think he's
dummy thick. Yep.
I think it's like silver chariot, but like dressed in a slutty Halloween costume.
That spooky chariot?
Oh, yeah. He's like a sexy police officer.
Right.
Silver chariot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Christian, I hate to disappoint you, but I've read part 6, part 7, and a good chunk of part 8. So I know what happens.
I mean, I can't guess. All I know, my assumption is it's Orange is the New Black, but JoJo's. That's my assumption.
Fair. Now, do you assume that for no reason, or does anything exist that made you think that?
I don't remember what I have heard and what I have made up. You know what I mean? Like, because I know, I think there's the next arc is women, and I think it takes place in a prison. I don't know anything else, I think. I don't know anything else for sure, but I just decided it's, or maybe someone else made this joke. I don't know. But that I think it's going to be Orange is the New Black, but JoJo's.
Okay. Miles, do you have any expectations? Or
I feel like we've heard spoilers,
hopes?
But I've luckily forgotten them.
Yeah.
I just hope Dio comes back.
You hope Dio comes back?
Yep.
I always hope Dio comes back. Every episode that I watch, even if it's not JoJo's, like we'll be watching Vampire Hunter D and I'm like, I wonder if Dio's in this.
He was almost in it. If you think about it, this was pretty close. Vampires in big mansions.
Yep.
Real sexy.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all Dio is to me.
But
the professional college level rugby athletes.
But there was too much romance in this.
Archaeologists.
For it to be Dio.
That's right. Dio is just like, I want to turn on men and some women, but with women themselves, I want to drink them like Capri Suns and just discard their bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think he does that? Do you think he like drinks all the blood from someone and then it's like, and
yep.
He squeezes them, and throws them?
Yep.
And then like a liquid metal surfboarder does a bunch of tricks in the commercial. Kids, remember
what?
The 90s? That was crazy.
One thing I hope for part 6 as well is I hope that Araki started writing it. I hope that he started writing it knowing what it was going to be, because part 5 seemed like he started writing it and didn't really know what it was going to be.
They're all like that, though. They're all like that. Part 4 starts out with it just being like this one asshole stand user named Angelo, and then Araki was like,
true.
Fuck this, he's dead.
Does he ever know what it's going to be? I guess, no, I think the first part he knew what it was going to be. I think for the first part when he started writing it, he had an idea of where it was going to go, I think.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's true. It's mostly the same thing. Part 2 is also pretty much what it is. Stardust Crusaders, arguable, I guess. I did think it was funny.
I think those were more planned out.
He goes through the all the trump cards. And then all the trump cards of the tarot.
Yeah.
And then it's like also Egyptian gods. You're like, what? And then he's like, oh, and Vanilla Ice has a stand cream and he wears no pants.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Kenny G. And he just like keeps adding shit onto it. So it felt like, oh, it should be like 21 or 22 people, you know, when it's just the tarot cards. But then it just kept getting tacked on. I don't know if that's what happened there, but maybe.
That, I think he was just extending it, but he knew like... Like, he knew what Dio's power was going to be, you know?
Yeah.
I think. Like, I think he,
yeah.
You know, like, he had it planned out. It's just that he just, like, added in some, he wanted to extend it. Whereas part four, like, I think he just started writing it like with a cool idea, not knowing where it was gonna go.
Yeah, Kira's Last Power was thought of the day that it was like published.
Yeah, and then
I'm gonna say it was all
then,
done in one
and
day.
And then part five, same thing. And that's why, like, I remember, you know, I was like, oh, he's setting us up for something. This is Dio's son. Maybe Dio will come back. Maybe he'll have to wrestle with, like, you know, the good part of him and the evil part of him. But no, there's none of that. It's just there for fun facts.
Yeah.
And then the Koichi thing, like Koichi coming back and checking everything out just for no reason.
And then walking out of the show like Richie Cunningham's younger brother or older brother.
Never to be seen again.
Going up the stairs for the last time in Happy Days.
Oh, that's what happened in Family Matters too. Was it? Family Matters. They had a younger sister, and one day they send her to her room, and she never comes back.
She died of starvation in there.
They're like, "Go to your room," and that's it. She never appears on the show again.
They're like, "Go back to Central Casting. We're done working with you." Part six. I'm trying to think if it is consistent. I don't think it would be JoJo if I was like, "There's a very obvious beginning, middle, and end." Clear, obvious throughput that Araki came up with here. But beyond that, I won't say anything else. Miles, did you say your hopes for it or no?
The Dio.
Yes. The
oh,
Dio
just Dio. Back. How pedestrian.
Oh, also that the guy who's floating in space, the Pillar Man.
Oh, Cars?
Yeah, I hope he comes back too.
Yeah. It'd be funny if he came back, but he really did experience, like, mental death. Like, he thaws out, but he's just like, bleh, he's just dead. And they're like, oh, this was not important.
Because it's like a loose end to me that he's still out there.
I know for a fact we've talked about it. They do something with it in the, like, non-canonical George Joestar book that just seems fucking bananas and hilarious. But I would not want a talking... honestly, though, I don't think the left hand that D has... I don't think that's a tumor. I think his left hand is, like, his hand.
I don't know what it is. I wouldn't want it.
You wouldn't want that?
No.
But it can suck up, like, cursed spaces. What if someone cursed you?
I don't think I'd want it for myself, but I liked him in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked him as a character, but I don't know if I would want... Well, it's like a... What's it called? That Parasite anime we watched?
Yeah. Yeah, yep. It's called Parasite.
Right. I don't know.
I wouldn't like anything that I...
personality.
Yeah, I wouldn't like anything that I can't control, personally.
See, mostly control the hand. Or the hand listens to him, at least.
I don't know. I don't want... It's just, it seems like it would be another cause of stress. Like,
yeah,
it has a mind of its own. And
sometimes you want to be alone.
Yeah.
What if it just served all of the functions of your smartphone? Like it could like look up directions and like play music and stuff. Maybe not play music, but.
So it's like if I had.
You'd be like Siri, like embedded in your hand.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Huh?
Well, it better be smarter than our Google Home that refused to hear the words unpretty. Yesterday.
We should just I really just wanted to play Unpretty by TLC, and I would say watch her in the distance now if she hears this.
I heard what you said, motherfucker.
But I would keep saying, like, you know, okay, Google, play Unpretty by TLC, and she's like, okay, Creep by TLC, and she'd start playing Creep. I'm like, Google, play Unpretty by TLC, and she just kept playing Creep. She was like, but she would say, like, she understood it.
We spelled it out. Creep. Like, I said it, she said it.
Yeah, okay, Google. Yeah, Mark would try to say it. Still, she would play Creep. We would spell it out.
She did just hear us. Oh my god, what is she saying? Oh my god, she's getting bigger. No, we tried saying play track 9.
Unpretty by TLC, and she still played Creep.
Eventually I said play the album, and then I said next song 8 times until the song came on
and she played it,
and Jackie was like, what's the name of this song,
and she knew it.
She said Unpretty. So she's
I don't know where her deal
she's
is
a fucking
man.
Asshole that's yeah. her deal. So anyway, I think if we
listeners,
had
write in if you can get her to play it with just a voice command.
Yeah, honestly, if you send us a video of you saying Google, or even if you have Siri or Cortana or whatever.
Well, no. I want to see Google do it. Oh. I don't care about Siri.
If you say, play Unpretty by TLC, and she's like, got it, and plays the right track, track 9 off Fan Mail, we'll do nothing, but we'll be impressed.
It was like, all I wanted to do was hear a song, and then it ended up becoming like 20 minutes of our lives just trying to talk to this machine.
Also, now Spotify and Google think I'm really into TLC.
Is that true?
It's linked to my account, yeah. anyway, the point is if my left hand could talk, it wouldn't fuck that up. You know what I mean? Because if it was like, oh, you want me to play Creep, you could just slam your hand into the wall a bunch, and you'd be like, I'm so sorry. I will do what you ask, my master. All right, sounds like none of you would like that in your hand. I agree.
You don't want it in your hand either?
No.
Why not?
Because it's like, what if you were trying to be quiet, you were sneaking somewhere, and then the hand is just sneezing, you know, or... Yeah.
All right. What if it was
you're eating something and half your sandwich goes missing because he ate your sandwich?
True. What if it was somewhere you couldn't see, like your tit or your belly button?
Did you say my tit?
Yeah.
What? You think I can't see? Never mind.
No, you wear a shirt so other people can't see that you have this thing.
Could I have like a talking like mouth stomach like the Wolfman does in this?
Yeah, you could.
By the way, that guy sucks.
What? Oh yeah, he didn't really do anything.
He goes out on the mountain and is like, time to turn into a full fucking wolf. And then his like mouth stomach opens. And then later, I think D just comes up to him and just murders him. And he just falls off the mountain or something. Like, he does nothing. Except look like a weirdo. And so, well, he scratches people and, I don't know, moves the dynamite. Whatever. But still, he sucks.
He's the Zeppeli of this movie.
Ooh. Zeppeli gave Wham, a run for his money, but he did not beat him. Rip. What do you call it? What was the question?
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
If I could have it on my chest or something, like Kuwato from Total Recall, I would still not want it, Miles.
Okay.
Because then you'd have that goofy thing where it would talk, but you'd be like, what was that? And like, your hand, people would be like, you got a talking hand, bro. But if it comes out of your chest, then there's this awkward thing. I don't want that.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right. Again, that was Correspondence Coffin. You can tell that it went super smoothly. And you can write to us, jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. And on Twitter and everywhere else, we're JJBpod. Trying to stream more on Twitch, but often I'm like, streaming is stressful. I'm just going to play offline. And then I do that while listening to sad piano music. But let's talk about Vampire Hunter Duh, Bloodlust. Vampire Hunter Duh.
So it starts out with a where babe.
It starts off right where we left off.
There's a babe. This like seems to take place in like a Victorian.
Nope. You forgot about the opening text where it's in the distant future. Baby.
Oh, this is in the future.
It's in the future after a nuclear holocaust.
Oh.
Yep.
All right. Well,
but somehow
aesthetically, it's like Renaissance Victorian.
Right. But do you remember that there's that, but then Layla has like these like zoom telephoto goggles and a bazooka, or no, she doesn't have a bazooka. She has a crazy handgun and stuff.
That all seemed normal to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's got the gothic aesthetics, but it's also in the future.
Well,
styles
there's
come
this...
back.
Yeah.
There's this babe, and she's very very dramatically and stylistically attacked by a vampire. I wrote that down.
It's a really sick scene where we hear a carriage being pulled through town, and everything they go by either ices over or dies. They go past flowers and they wilt. So for this lady, who we later learn is named Charlotte, the like roses in her on her nightstand, like they die, they turn crisp and hard, and then the wind from the chariot blows them all off their stalks, and so these like dry rose petals fly by her when she wakes up.
Very stylistic.
The animation is amazing. Just the painted backdrops and everything, backgrounds I should say, everything in this just looks so good. You know, let me just also say that the studio that did this is Madhouse, who also did Trigun and Hunter x Hunter. And the music was done by Marco D'Ambrosio, who also did the JoJo OVAs.
Hmm.
So, very 80s.
Cool. Yeah, it's 80s animation.
Well, I mean, it's 2000s animation, but it's based on art from the 80s because, I forgot to write this down, but it is true that the character design, because these were books originally, right? Mm-hmm. But the character design in the 80s was done by Yoshitaka Amano, who did all of the Final Fantasy character design and box arts for like the majority of the series. So if you ever look up like the box art for Final Fantasy 6, 5, 4, 3, you know, everything from 1 to 6, you'll be like, oh, it looks like I'm looking at a Vampire Hunter D character.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
That's Miles, does that ring any bells? Did you ever look at Final Fantasy box art?
Yeah. I can
you ever
see,
look
like,
at a box?
I've looked at a box. I could see the ties, though.
It's sort of that watercolor. Everything's a little bit thin. The faces come to like a point in the chin. A little bit like clamp art, but not really. Sorry, I'm trying to pull up an image here for Jackie, but I think Final Fantasy VI is actually not the best box art.
I don't know. Okay. Cool. I give up.
What do you mean? Give up?
I give up.
One sec.
Let's just keep going.
What you mean is you don't care, Jackie.
I don't care.
You don't give me your attention.
I'm imagining.
Okay, look here. This is like a bad like imitated version of it. But do you see Terra on the bottom there?
Okay.
I think she just said okay to move on.
Sure.
Yeah.
So this story, I'm not gonna go like point by point, but oh yeah, they tell us that the vampire numbers are dwindling, but there are bounty hunters.
Right.
And so the bounty hunters hunt the vampires hunt the humans, and stuff. And,
our main character is Dee, who is a Dampir.
Yes.
A Dampir means half vampire, half human, which means they had sex. It does not mean that the vampire drank her blood and then had a baby by himself or herself.
I have a question about how that
works. I figured that out in my head. But real fast, though, in the title crawl, in the intro, which has English credits, because this was first done in English before they even put it into Japanese, strangely.
Oh.
Yeah. They say that D is a Dunpeel.
A Dunpeel.
Yeah, which is just like someone read the phonetic Japanese of it and was like, I guess they're trying to say Dunpeel, but they just misheard.
It actually said, the text said his name is Dunpeel, is what they said.
Did it really?
It said name. Yeah, it didn't say he is, or they might have said he is called Dunpeel, but it didn't say like that he's a
vampire
type
hunter D Unpeel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
It's just Dampier. But
Dunpeel. Did you guys watch it in Japanese?
Yep.
Yes. Did you?
Oh, I watched it in English.
So you can tell us what that's like. How'd you like it?
They did call him Dunpeel. It was mostly good. Like you said, like I looked up and it said that they first did it in English. But there was still like some weird stuff where like some speeches were a little bit too wordy. But for the most part, it was like much better dub than others that I've encountered.
There's some real talent on this one, including like 5 or 6 of the voices are done by John DiMaggio, who is Bender in Futurama. Mm. And I want to make sure I'm correct on that, but I think so. And a fuck ton of other American animation characters. John DiMaggio is Bender. But yeah, what were you saying? Oh, from New Jersey. He went to Rutgers. Good for you, John DiMaggio. From North Plainfield. Where the fuck is that?
Miles? It's in Union County.
Oh, no. This one's in Somerset County.
Oh, fuck.
Might be a different one. Whatever. We don't go there. Myself. Sorry, so you were saying some of the voices what?
Sounded very familiar to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't look into those. I did get whatever JoJo to this movie voice connections there were. But I did not look up the American voice actors too much. Yeah. Let me see here. Yeah, I definitely see some names like Wendy Lee, John Rafter Lee. Is that your name? Ratter Rafter? Yeah. And Pamela Segal, so Layla, the short-haired girl in this, is voiced by Bobby Hill from King of the Hill, basically.
Aww.
Oh, right. Pamela Adlon had a different last name at the time.
Who's that?
Holy shit. Pamela Adlon was in the show Louie.
Mm.
And now has her own show. But I didn't realize she's the one who did Bobby Hill on King of the Hill. That's fucking nuts.
That is
and
nuts.
Ashley from Recess.
Mm.
I don't know anything about Recess. I'm 100 years old.
You can learn all about it.
So yeah, some real American voice talent for the English dub. Or I guess we should say English original.
Mm-hmm.
The Japanese is the dub, even though it was written in Japanese. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So yeah, Dunpeel.
Yep.
Is his name.
So wait, Miles, that his name is Dunpeel, or they call him a Dunpeel?
He goes by D, but they call him a Dunpeel.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Which is sort of like the movie and comic book Blade, right? Mm-hmm. That he's a daywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Which they call him because he can move around in the daylight a little bit because he's half vampire and half human. And he hunts vampires. This is a common thing. These race traitors.
No.
Vampire race.
So I have a question about how half vampires work.
Okay.
So half vampire, half human. Does it have to be the human was a human? Wait, does it have to be that the woman was a human in the relationship?
I don't know.
Because I feel like a vampire, it'd be weird if a vampire carried life in it. I think that'd be weird because they're dead, you know?
That's a good point.
Doesn't that seem kind of weird?
I think oftentimes, like, vampires are only depicted as male. I think in classic vampire bullshit.
But there was a lady vampire in this.
All right. The union in the Balkan folklore for Dunpeel. No, you are right. Carmilla is a lady.
Yes.
Is the result of a union between a vampire and a human, usually male vampires and female humans, mm-hmm. with stories of female vampires mating with male humans being rare.
Mm-hmm.
But not non-existent, baby. Hmm.
Okay.
But
cool.
I think, yeah, usually you have it the right way.
Right. So Charlotte seemingly was kidnapped, and her brother and father are like, hey, bounty hunters, bring her back. The bounty hunters are like, all right, cool, let's do it. And then D comes by, and everybody's like, anytime D steps into the scene, everyone's like, oh, I've heard of this Dunpeel. Like, everybody's heard of him.
They're like, we read the first two books.
Everybody knows who he is. Everybody's in awe of him. Both human bounty hunters, vampires, like, in both worlds, he is, like, kind of legendary. And even, like, the vampires who want to fight him have a lot of respect for him, you know, which they would always, like, mention.
Well, the vampires and the humans. The human bounty hunters here are also like, that guy, he's cool as fuck.
The vampires, they'd be like, oh, it's a shame we're going to have to kill you, man. You're so cool. They're always like, you're just so great, but we got to kill you. We can't just let you live. And it's such a shame. It's such a pity, man. And I wish I didn't have to kill you right now. They're very upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone here is out for their own gain. They don't give a shit about anybody else, really. The bounty hunters just want to get their bounty and their money.
I don't like that the bounty hunters accept pay to kill vampires.
What do you want them to do?
I don't know. They should just be heroes and kill vampires.
Well, I think it's a dangerous job, so you're paying someone for their service.
All right.
You know, if someone came in and got all the raccoons out from under our porch, we would pay them.
Okay, fine.
They can't just be like, I'm a hero. This hero doesn't pay bills, Jackie.
They're vampire hunters.
You would pay them $20 million to get the raccoons from under your porch.
I think that is a mistranslation there. I mean, it is the future, so I guess maybe inflation, $20 million is like a Cadillac or something. It's like not a lot of money.
So I didn't take very close notes about everything that happened, but in my notes I have that there was a cross light, so there was like a light with a shape of a cross that...
Yes, they blasted that at some of the vampires.
And they do that in dojos, kind of, not with the shape of a cross, but they do blast light at people.
I'm skeptical on blasting light in the shape of a cross. I feel like that might scare some vampires, but otherwise they might be like, because of the distance we are from the source of the light, the shape has faded.
I think it has to be, shouldn't it be sunlight? Shouldn't it be like UVA, UVB?
It might be. Yeah, it probably is those. But did, maybe the cross is just for fashion.
For fashion. There's a lot of fashion in this.
Yeah.
But didn't JoJo's do this too?
They had backpacks with two UV lights, but they weren't specially shaped. They were just big circle things.
But what were those lights for?
To kill the vampire ghouls.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Same idea. I think that's come up a bunch in vampire lore.
What came first? This or JoJo's?
This had a few books out by the time JoJo started, I think. Mm.
Did Araki read them?
I don't know. Knowing Araki, he wrote weird-ass JoJo's and was like, I was inspired by Days of Heaven.
By a bug on my windowsill.
Yeah. I was inspired by, and it's just like, fucking like Annie Hall. And you're like, how the fuck does this come from that, Araki? You're just a liar. You read cool young people's stuff and then pretend that you read Tolstoy and came up with an alien keeping ice cream in his briefcase.
Hmm.
Love you lots, Araki. anyway, yeah, so the story is that, yeah, this girl has gone missing and her brother and father are hiring bounty hunters. We only see D come in and everyone's afraid of him. All the townspeople have their guns pointed at him.
Mm-hmm.
And they offer him a ridiculous amount of money. And then his brother's like, also, if it's too late, if she's already being turned, just kill her and bring back proof that you killed her.
Hmm.
And then he's like, double the money. And they're like, whatever, we're rich as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, did you hire other people? They're like, oh yeah, we hired a bunch of other people. And those are the people that have the light coming out of the cross-shaped lamps. Those are the Marcus brothers, even though there's like five of them. Well,
and Layla.
And Layla, who's a lady.
Yeah.
A better translation would probably be like...
Brothers,
yeah.
And Layla. And I don't know if Grove is a Marcus brother.
I think you're right. I think Grove is not a Marcus brother. I think he's the coolest character in this movie. And... yeah, also like a foster kid or something.
I like Carmella.
Well, I Jackie likes the most evilest person in this movie, but I like the Marcus brothers because this movie really is about Layla.
Layla's cool. No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
I like Layla.
D is like off screen a lot, and when he comes in, he like you'll see like the hilt of his sword. But like when he cuts stuff, you just see like a bunch of shit get cleaved in half. Like you rarely see him actually swinging it.
Mm.
It's just that people are really scared of him and then things get cut in half and you're like, what happened? yeah. So we see them first. They have this cool ass train car, basically. It's a car, but it's like an armored truck that has a bunch of gear on it just for killing vampires and shit. And a guy inside, one of the family members, is just on life support, very gaunt, very pale.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also after, you know, the same bounty. They run into a bunch of vampires in a graveyard, and then they notice D. They kill all the vampires, and they shoot an arrow at D, but D catches it and is like, fuck you, I'm cool as hell, and breaks the arrow. At some point, D is run off the road chasing the actual noble who's
a
vampire.
Well, we're not there yet.
Okay, I just wanted to talk about his horse exploding.
We'll get there. Well, I just want to, like, because I know this part comes before that. There's like a mirror prism. There's like a mirror, like tower prism that's like in the middle. You know, it's like it's a mirror. Like they look at it.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I'm talking about? And it's like the sun is setting, and like.
Isn't that the castle, or is that the Borboroi place?
I don't know what.
I think it's Meyerlin's castle.
Meyer Link, which sounds like a company, right? Like a media merger.
Yeah.
Like, well, Meyer and Link companies came together and now it's Meyer Link.
Yeah. Well, that's the first time we see him, I guess, after he kidnaps the girl.
Right.
We see him, like, jump out of his prism castle in a carriage. And, yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
And inside the carriage looks really nice. It's very spacious and elegant in there.
Yeah. This is very much like, what would the Japanese fantasy approach to vampires be? Like, you thought it was JoJo, but JoJo's really doing a few things at once. This is like, what if we took vampires to the most ridiculous heights and spaceships happened? Because this movie features spaceships. People should know that.
Why is he a noble?
So I think they use the term noble, like in classical vampire literature, vampires were like rich as fuck. And I guess they might be part of the noble class. And somehow in this dystopian future, the two are inseparable. That if you're a noble, you're a vampire asshole.
Mm.
You know? Because, yeah, they don't say the English word noble. They say the Japanese for it, whatever it is.
Hmm.
Yeah, so Meyer Link has kidnapped this girl. We know that Dee is after saving the girl. We know that the Marcus brothers, the Marcus family, really is what they should have said, is after them. How would we describe the Marcus brothers, the Marcus family? You know, we've got Borgoff. Somehow his first name is Borgoff. And he looks like your average, like, anime mercenary dad.
Chewing a cigar. You know,
your average mercenary dad. I don't know. He looks the most normal, even though all of them are a little fucking nuts looking.
One of them has a cross on his face.
Yes, one of them is a mountain of a man with a cross painted on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I believe, is...
Nolt.
Nolt. The most annoying word to pronounce. Then we also have Kyle. I don't know why
the way you say Kyle, like, you're annoyed.
Why that's his name. He's got a weird bodysuit on and has, like, crosses that are knives that he throws. He's also terrible at holding on to people. I have no idea how he let go of Charlotte on that bridge. That was really stupid. The voice of Kyle is two video game JoJo characters. No anime connections, sadly. But he's young Joseph in the Capcom fighting game and Whole Horse in the All-Star Battle fighting game. You know, the Capcom fighting voices are big to me because they're the first times I heard those characters have voices. So, yeah. So whenever you see someone play pixelated 90s fighting game footage and they show young Joseph yelling Caesar, that's Kyle from Vampire Hunter. So yeah, he's just like a shredded guy in a skin tight bodysuit throwing stuff. I'd call him a pervert, but I think if he were a bad guy and had he's like an inch away from being a bad guy character who has like a creepy laugh and says things about the female characters.
Mm.
But besides that, he's everything but that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, great guy. Sure?
Dead silence.
I'm asleep. I don't know. I'm sleepy.
Understood. We have Layla.
Yes.
Who is... She looks like an Akira character. She's a thin, short, blonde hair, blue-eyed lady.
Very short. Like almost like a little mullet or like a...
Not really a mullet.
Or a pixie cut. But pixie like a long, cut. But a long pixie cut because it's like growing.
I'm confused now. Mm. She wears like a very tight red suit, rides a motorcycle, and does a bunch of tech stuff. She has the most technology out of all of them. Because like the big brute guy, Nolt, he just has a hammer. Like it's got a point on it, but it's a hammer. That's his gimmick.
That's all you need.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a hammer. Usually when there's nails. Layla is voiced by Megumi Hayashibara, who is also Faye from Cowboy Bebop and Rei from Evangelion. So she only plays characters that rhyme with the A sound. Faye, Rei, Layla. And that ties into the fact that D is voiced by the Spike Spiegel voice actor in Japanese.
Mm.
So got two beboppers in here.
I wrote down that D has beautiful wavy hair, like a beautiful Japanese lady trope. I forget what that trope is called, but like there's like these beautiful women in Japanese anime, or it's like even like more ancient, this like trope of like,
oh, like the bishoji or bishon.
It's like the perfect woman has like long wavy hair.
Interesting. I did not know about
Japanese.
This.
I don't know what it's called.
Anyway,
D has that beautiful hair.
Cool. Yeah, so those are the, and then, I'm sorry, there's one more Marcus brother we mentioned earlier, Grove, who's just a thin, pale man on a hospital bed that they keep in their party bus, and he seems to only be able to fight when they give him a drug that lets him astral project or something. It's awesome. It's probably my favorite part of this movie. Yeah, so they're all after Meyer Link, who has kidnapped Charlotte. He rides, yeah, he's in his own elegant yet spacious spooky chariot that if you try to attack, it turns into a piece of cloth, apparently. So they are all chasing them, but then they end up in, I don't know, this isn't the Prismatic Castle, right, Jackie? Don't they end up in where do they find all of those vampires and mutants and shit? The Borborois Collective or
they,
whatever.
Where do they find it? I don't know the name of the place.
It's like just the Borborois country.
Oh, it is Borborois. Yeah, it is Borborois. I have that written down.
But it's like their country or whatever?
I don't know.
Yeah, like he opens a gate or whatever, or Vampire Hunter D opens a gate to get into it. So I assume it's like a separate jurisdiction where all these freaks live.
Like it's a physical gate? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Oh.
D follows him in and he's like, I have business with the Borborois.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's an old, I thought it was an old lady. I wrote down Oba-chan, but apparently it's an Oji-san.
The old clown guy?
Yeah. Apparently it's a dude, but I thought it was a woman. It sounded like a woman in Japanese. And he rode a unicycle.
Well, he is actually AC/DC in the JoJo anime.
Mm.
It's a man.
Really?
Yeah.
The voice actor?
Yeah.
It sounded like a woman.
AC/DC! It's like up there.
Huh.
Okay. That guy was a huge pervert. He didn't do anything sexual. There's no reason for me to call him that. But he just seemed like a big pervert in some like baggy pajamas. Yeah. Just stabbing shadows.
I thought he was fine. He had a little unicycle. He had a lot of respect
for D. Oh, that guy. That guy.
Who
I'm
are you
sorry.
Thinking of?
I was thinking of the guy who stabs the shadow. He's like much paler, kind of clown looking.
I don't know who you're talking about.
When they first get there, you know how the big guy dies because something hits his shadow and
mm-hmm.
he dies while
yeah.
standing up?
Mm-hmm.
Then later we see that character that I'm talking about. He traps D underground in some black cloth. He's doing the cat's cradle.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, that guy's AC/DC. The guy riding a unicycle around who reminds me of the Penguin from Batman Returns.
Is a lady.
Might be a lady.
It's a lady.
I will have to look into this.
It was a man in English, for sure.
Okay. Well, who knows? Can someone explain to me why one of the Marcus brothers can astral project?
I guess we'll just talk about it now. Look, there's a drug out there a lot of people don't know about that if you take it, they sponsor this podcast. It's called Never Death. Yeah, they just give him a drug that lets him astral project. I don't know if it happens because he's close to death, you know, or if that's just besides the point, like maybe doing this kind of thing makes you die slowly. But then he's just like an ecstatic, like he looks like he's having the time of his life. Like Don't Stop Me Now by Queen should be playing. And he just floats near all these vampires while shooting beams of white light out of him. He's just like a nice, cool ghost. That just like murders en masse evil things.
Hmm.
It's really cool.
And I feel like that happens at a very like opportune time for D because he's like surrounded by the Borborois at that point. And it seems like he's screwed.
Yeah, yeah. And they're sort of going back and forth where, because they're like, why don't we all just kill you? And D's like, I mean, you'd probably kill me, but I'd kill a lot of you and it would make you look bad. And they're like, all right, fine. This Vampire Hunter D wiki with no citation says that when that guy Grove has a seizure, that's where he kind of takes into a different form.
Okay, so he has special powers for no reason as a human.
I don't know what other reason you would want than seizures.
Okay.
That's what happens when you have a seizure.
I see. So it's like his body's like, I don't know, I can't keep my soul together, and it, I don't know. All right, cool. So next question. At some point, there's a letter someone's reading, and it's all in German. What's that all about?
So apparently, Meyer Link's name should be Meyerling. Or Meyerling.
What does that mean?
I have no fucking idea.
It's just a name.
Yeah, it's just,
so he's
it's
German.
Just a name. Yeah, he's a German guy. You know how German guys be.
You wanted to talk about a horse exploding. Did we ever get to that?
Yeah, but you know what? Meyerling is a German or Austrian name and such. There was a murder suicide of what does Mayerling have to do with these people? They're not even named Mayerling. I don't know. It's on Wikipedia, so it's most likely a reference to that name. It has, there's a few different instant like things in history with that name. Anyway, yeah, at some point I think it's so. Okay, the Borbaroi is this place that all like the Marcus brothers go to, and the big guy gets murked by that shadow pervert who's wearing big baggy pajamas. And then they swear revenge, and then D is talking shit. Miles, did you notice that one like monkey looking demon that pops out from behind a column and just makes a noise and a bunch of like makes a bunch of faces at the camera?
No.
You didn't notice that? Just this one comes out and he just has his arms stretched out and he's just like, ah, like the camera's like panning across a bunch of the mutants and evil people, and there's just this little guy who jumps. It's the fucking funniest thing.
I must have missed it.
I mean, I have to. I bet you someone clipped it. So yeah, they're kind of talking, and you know, D's trying to reason with them to be like, "Let me get through, so I can fuck up this Mayerling or Mayerling guy." I don't remember. Do they have a justification for not letting him in?
Because they have Mayerling has hired Barbaroi to protect him.
Oh, so he's paid off the whole squad, or at least three of them. So then Light Boy comes in and fucks everything up, lets D escape. D goes after Meyerling's carriage. The carriage has three of the scariest demon assassin people from the Borbaroi, which are the fucking pervert guy. I'm going to keep calling him that. The Shadow Master guy, Wolfman named Mashira, and a Liquid Lady.
Green Babe.
Green Babe is
what I call her.
Yeah, what is her name? Carolina. I forgot.
She's like a tree lady.
Well, she's not a tree lady the entire time, though, because she first seeps into their train car from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? She like leaps out, and the Marcus brothers, they're also chasing the same carriage. They run her over, but she's really underneath, and she becomes all spiky. She's just a liquid lady who can turn into spikes, obviously. Ah, sorry, Jackie. The unicycle guy is voiced by a man.
Boo.
but he also voices Dr. Eggman in the Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh.
And, yeah, a bunch of men and all other stuff. So, yeah, there's those three people. Oh, and in the 93 OVA, he's old Joseph. I don't know why he was putting on such a ladylike voice. So they're chasing Mayerling, and there's the three. Everyone in this movie has the craziest powers. Like, I was honestly scared to see what would happen next. Mm-hmm. I was just like, this guy's fucked. Like, I was like, these powers are so huge and they come on so fast. Yeah. In JoJo, you have all this time to be like, all right, I know what it is. Let's go. Like, slowly it comes in. This one, you're just like, what? What does he do? Why are they in the ground? And then you're like, this lady is turning into spikes. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even want to know what this next guy does.
And his powers in comparison are just like he can cut anything in half. He's just very strong.
And you mean Vampire Hunter? You mean the main guy?
Yeah, like it seems pretty straightforward what he's capable of.
Yeah, he can cut stuff in half. He's not good in the sun. Yeah, I don't know. It almost feels like his sword is the real star of his story. Calling you out, D.
So at some point. D wants to buy a new horse because he lost his to death.
Right. He somehow falls off a cliff and he like gets a... What does he do? I don't know. He somehow clings to the cliff and survives, but his horse and carriage fall into the cliff and his horse, I think, explodes because you just see like a bunch of organs and rib cage pop out from where he hit the ground. It's really graphic for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I was bummed out. Great.
And yeah... But, D is not saddened by this. He doesn't say anything.
He just goes and buys a new one. Or he tries to.
Wreck it, buy a new one.
Yeah.
The crew run, the crew run.
Yeah.
I think that's where Biggie got the lyric from.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You know, he talks about a car, and then he says, wreck it, buy a new one. Anyway.
So he goes into this this old man's barn, and he's like, hey, I want to buy a horse. And the old guy's like, it's really expensive. And he's like, how much? I want it. And so he's like making the deal. He's going over to the horse. And then meanwhile, some like, what are these dudes? Some like the county sheriffs it's or the whatever.
Sheriff. Yeah, sheriff and his bros.
Come in and they're like, we don't sell to Dampiers. And the old man's like, hey man, why are you trying to mess with my business? I'm just trying to make some, like, you can't come here and tell me who I can't sell to. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he's like, free country. Government, keep your hands off my business.
Yeah.
Because they are full of shit, because they're like, it's a law. And the guy, Polk, the old man, is like, what law? And they're like, well, we don't sell to Dampiers here. You know the law. And he's like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. He's clearly just making shit up.
And so he starts to casually tell this story. It starts out really casual where he's like, you know, there was a hunter here, a Dampier, a long time ago who saved this whole village.
All these children.
Yeah, well, saved the village and the children. So these vampires came and they took all these children, and the Dampier, you know, hunted the vampires and brought the children back. And then the old man gets really, like, emotional and serious, and he pulls out a gun at these police guys, and he's like, fuck all y'all. If you're going to take him, you're taking me down with him, because... You know, and he tries to protect D, and he's like, it's because, you know, D was the Dampier all those years ago. And what's his name? Polk?
Polk, yeah.
Polk was one of the kids.
Yeah. Ah! And then he's like, you saved me. I recognize, he's like, something and your beautiful face.
Yeah.
I don't know what he said in English, Miles. Do you happen to remember what he says when he says to D that I recognized him or whatever?
I don't remember like, him saying... I recognize your beautiful face. I think that was not in the English version.
They don't age.
Yeah. It was a little bit romantic. Same voice actor JoJo OVA Vanilla Ice, by the way. Yeah. I don't remember what that guy sounds like, but whatever.
I like getting the sense that Vampire Hunter D has a long history in this world.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Legendary. Legendary.
It's yeah, he's sort of ever-present.
I thought that was a good story, too. I liked the way that unfolded.
Yeah, it's that trope of I was that little boy.
Yeah.
We watched Snowpiercer a few weeks ago, and it was that same thing, where it's like, here's a story, and then reveal 2 minutes later, I'm in that story I told you from third person.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why didn't you just say it and then wait? You know, like, I don't know.
Or like Kamala Harris when she called out Joe Biden. And
that
was
little
like,
girl was me.
That little girl was me.
And then...
Dump! And everything explodes.
And then endorsed him for president.
Anyway.
So, yeah, he buys a replacement horse, and the sheriffs have this like mechanical gun pointed at them by this little old man who's like, now get out of here, D, before I kiss you in the mouth for saving me when I was a baby. I may have changed the dialogue a little bit there.
So now they find the girl. What's her name? Cassandra? What's her name?
Charlotte.
Charlotte. They find Charlotte, and they're like, come on, Charlotte, we're rescuing you. And she's like, rescue me. I want to stay here with my love. And she's in love with...
I want to stay with all my friends.
She's in love with the vampire, and she wasn't kidnapped after all. She was running away with him.
Yeah.
And it's actually a love story. And now the bounty hunters are the bad guys, because they want to separate love.
See, that's the thing is I had that moment... at first, but then like Layla is talking to Charlotte and she's like, hey, what about all those people that died? Like, you know, you're responsible for all these people that were killed in that village. And she doesn't have shit to say about that.
Well, she's like, the guy you love is a fucking murderer.
Yeah. And then later when she asks,
she's like, I don't care.
Yeah. When they talk later, he's like, yeah, I really wish I didn't kill all those people. And yeah. She's like, well, they shot at you and you couldn't control yourself. I was like, what?
Yeah.
All right. I don't remember that.
That's excuses.
Because
she loves him.
Then there's this thing that's kind of cool. There's like a bit of like a friendship, sort of friend romance between Layla and Dee going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because Layla was hurt in one battle. Dee patches her up and leaves. And she's like, why did you touch me? And he's like, you're a fucking baby. I gotta go. And then later he fights somebody, but he's been in the sun too long and gets all tired.
Well, when he patches her up, he says, they have this conversation. Isn't that when they have this conversation about how...
She called out for her mom.
Yeah.
And then when she's like, don't touch me, like, you didn't get my permission. And he's like, anybody who calls out for their mom during a fight or whatever should not be a vampire hunter.
Right. But he also says something, they talk about something about her being weak and whatever, whatever. And he is like, well, you know, when you die, I'll put flowers on your grave.
That's during the second thing when she gets him out of the sunlight. She buries him.
Okay.
Leaving his head and hat exposed. I question the efficacy here.
Mm.
Doesn't he bury himself?
No, he starts to, but then she notices him. So I assume that she helped finish digging it for him.
Oh, I see.
There's a time jump, but that's what I think happened.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this chat where she's pointing a gun at him, but then, yeah, jokingly is like, we'll put flowers on the other one's grave, whoever dies first. And he's like, all right, it's a deal. And she's like, I'm just kidding. So it's a fun relationship they have. The movie, act three of this movie is just fucking nutso, because I don't know why Meyer Link decides to go to Carmilla's castle. That is it's enormous, first of all. It's not even a castle. I think you would just get lost on the way to the kitchen. You'd be like, fuck, I made that turn again. I never tell the cleaning people to come down here, and it is so gross.
It's like when you're in a big mall and you're like, how the fuck do I get anywhere?
And like when the illustrations of it looks like it's like layered over each other, like in impossible ways. It's really cool. And that lady must be lonely as fuck, because that place is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Look. Oh, it's the Castle of Chaith.
Oh, and what's it called? Meyer Link tells his girl Catherine?
Charlotte. Chachi from Joni Loves Chachi.
I'm like, it's a C name.
Second Happy Days reference this podcast.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
He tells her that, you know, they're going to the City of Lights, where humans won't want to fight them anymore.
Yeah, you sound full of shit, Meyer Link.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're going to the city at the end of the star. It's like black metal lyrics. Like, what are you talking about, bro?
But there's an actual spaceship, so he's not totally bullshitting.
Right. Yeah, and around here in this act, he seems, because we do see him
nice.
Well, because on a bridge, they blow up part of the bridge so that the chariot can't get across. D already killed the fucking shadow manipulator pervert guy. And Liquid Lady's in the woods while the Marcus people have them on a bridge. I don't know. So they have the lady, and Kyle grabs her and is like, we're going to take you back to your dad. I don't give a shit who you love. And then the vampire, Meyer Link, comes out of the carriage in sunlight, and he's like on fire. And you feel bad for him. Because I thought he was going to get out there and just like straight up murk them all. But he's just like, I won't let you take her. Mm-hmm. And they love each other. And you're like, oh.
They love each other. She at some point wants him to turn her. And he's like, she's like, please, I love you. Turn me into a vampire. He's like, no, I don't want you to suffer like I do. And she's like, but I want to be close to you. And it's like this, and they love each other, and it's so cute, and he seems like a nice guy.
The last act, he seems, and besides murdering entire towns, he like seems like a nice dude. And it's that weird vampire metaphor for sex where he's like, no, I can't, I have to resist. And it's like, what the fuck?
At this point in my notes, I'm calling I'm calling him Dampy.
Okay.
Because he's a dampier.
Got it.
I'm calling him Dampy. Vampire Hunter Dampy.
Dampy Kong. Got it.
Oh, just wanted to make sure you knew that. I wrote down what happened to Dampy's parents, because we don't know.
We think that Carmilla implies that his father was the great vampire king or something. I forget what his name is. Pantera or something. Sepultura? I don't know.
Also, at some point, Layla tells us about her tragic story where her mom disappears and her dad goes after the mom, and then the dad is killed, and then the mom comes back as a vampire.
Yeah.
I like that story.
You like that story?
It's sad.
Oh, okay.
I like tragic stories.
All right.
This whole story is tragic.
It is.
Did you like the tragic story of when we tried to tell Google Home to play Unpretty and they kept playing
That
Creep?
Was very tragic.
That was also a tragedy.
I also could have just pulled out Spotify at any time, but it was the principle of the thing.
Either of us could have.
I wanted that. This robot to know and understand me. I wanted it to understand.
So it was tough times.
Get to listen to Unpretty by TLC? This is like an itch that has not been scratched?
No. I said play this album, and she did, and then I just kept saying go to the next track until we hit track 9, which is Unpretty, and she played it.
That was my idea, by the way. I was the one who cracked that one.
if you say so.
No, I was going to do it. And then I was like, play the next track. And then you stopped me.
I interrupted you. I was like, we're not doing this. Yeah, just and go then, to track 9. And then, she played track 9 off some other fucking album.
And then you went back and did what I said to do and took all the credit.
I did the actual work.
You took all the credit.
Well, I did the thing.
All right.
So yeah, they're at this castle. We keep hearing them talk about like, we're going to go live away from all the people. And Carmilla's like, yep, there's that city beyond the stars that I heard is in ruins now, but at least you two will be alone there. And I was like, is this interdimensional? What is this? This can't really be in space. And so Carmilla is a ghost.
She's a snake.
Oh, that's her we see there, right? Those weird fleshy snake ladies.
Oh, with the long torso.
That was her?
No.
No, but she's also a traitor, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, she is. She's an asshole. So she basically, she takes them in and she starts tricking the Marcus brothers that come in.
She is a master of illusion.
Yeah. How did Kyle die? I don't remember how he died.
Hold on. Let me look at my notes.
Did he die on the bridge?
Where do I have Kyle dying? I have it in my notes
He
somewhere.
Dies on the bridge, I think. The werewolf fucks him up, maybe.
Yeah, I think Kyle dies on the bridge. And then Morgoth dies in the castle because he thinks he sees his brothers come alive. And he's like, wow, you guys are back. And then he gets stabbed.
I wrote down, werewolf monster comes and kills Kyle and one of the other dudes falls.
Yeah, Borgoff fell, but he lives. He tried to blow the bridge and nothing happened. And I think the bombs were in the water because the werewolf moved them. Anyway, the werewolf goes Carmilla to transform and dies.
Carmilla also tricks Meyer Link.
Right, so she puts up these like illusions that we think she's doing to aid Meyer Link get to the spaceship. But then, it turns out she also is trying to attack Meyer Link. And so, so Borgoff, the older Marcus brother, sees a vision of his two brothers coming back to life. They kill him. He turns into a vampire later. Carmilla has an illusion for Meyer Link where she shows that Dee has taken Charlotte and Dee is like, yo, she wants to come back with me. And Meyer Link is like, what? No. And then something cuts him in half. I think a statue cuts him. His face, he very Dio-like, gets split in half in a castle and put back together later. Dee sees his mom, right?
Yeah.
But he recognizes this and just cuts her in half, like he cuts everything in half. Layla sees herself as a kid at her mom's funeral or something, she just sees her. And then does Dee interrupt that fantasy for her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he saves her before she gets, like, killed by a falling chandelier.
And then, it turns out that Dee's father, the ancient vampire king, killed Carmilla. And so the reason why Carmilla betrayed Meyer Link is because Charlotte is a virgin and needs her blood to be resurrected.
Mm.
So she does kill her somehow. I don't remember how. I don't know. Does she get a fantasy too? Does she get a trick?
Yeah.
Deception?
It's where she's walking up the staircase in that like room full of candles and seemingly Meyer Link is at the top of the staircase and he bites her. And that blood is what revives Carmilla.
Right. Yeah, because I was just so confused because they show Carmilla and then you hear Meyer Link or Dee or someone being like, but Carmilla's rotten or like dried up corpse. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Who is this walking around?
Mm.
And then I read that she's a ghost. And I was like, okay. But then before she can finish, so they know now that Charlotte is dead, but remembers that they added on to their deal with the Charlotte family. Like, all right, if she's turning into a vampire, you can just kill her and give us proof. So Layla is just like, enough of this fighting, because now Meyer Link and Dee are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes up to Charlotte and takes her ring off. Does she kill her too?
No, doesn't Charlotte live happily ever after with the noble?
No.
They don't?
No, she's
dead. Charlotte's dead.
Aww. Why does she seem alive?
But she takes her ring off. She is dead.
Is she a ghost?
No, yeah, she dies, Jackie.
Is she a ghost?
No. Charlotte's dead. When she gets bitten and they start fighting, she's gone. And he carries her corpse into the ship.
When she takes her ring off, she's
She
dead.
Doesn't take her ring off. Layla takes her ring off.
When Layla takes her ring off, is she dead?
Yeah, I think so. Or dying.
I thought she was alive. I thought they were talking to each other. They weren't talking to each other?
No, she dead.
No, she's talking like out loud to nobody.
Oh, okay. Weird. Anyway.
Yeah. And so like her blood is being drained and Dee, like, I don't know, somehow it hurts Carmilla. I don't know. Somehow like stops the ritual. Carmilla freaks out. And then he gets the ring from Layla. Layla throws him the ring. And the point is that he's like, well, I'm not going to fight you. He stabs the Meyer Link in the chest, but not through the heart on purpose, because he's like, I have a ring proving that this girl died. I couldn't get her alive, so I don't get as much money.
Mm-hmm.
But she's already gone, so I have no beef with you. I got to go.
Yeah.
And then Meyer Link is like, oh, chill. And then he takes his corpse bride into a spaceship. And
where do they go? They go into the stars and live happily ever after.
I mean, maybe. They also might just float around the Earth forever like Cars in part two of JoJo.
Does she turn into a... Maybe she turns into a vampire.
Maybe.
I want them to live happily ever after. They've been through so much.
They might.
I don't know. I don't get how Dee beat Carmilla. It just seemed like he, like, hulked out. Because he was, like, trapped in, like, a lightning storm. And then he just hulked out and was able to stab her.
He's in a lightning storm?
Yeah, she's, like, shooting all this lightning at him. And it seems like he's screwed. But then he's, like, he hulks out and stabs her.
Yeah, let me look this up. I'm curious about this. Man, lots of blood. She's based on a 1872 novel called Carmilla. Bloof mentioned that when she was on for our vampire episode. Let's see here. Her corpse from her real body is recuperating, bathing in blood. Dee shows up. Yeah, her illusions fail. So he's like not that weak. She tries to reason with him to change his mind. I don't remember seeing that. Yes, they do have a conversation, and she explains that, like, the natural order of things is that we feed on people. And then he, this fan wiki just says, Dee unleashed his inner power that broke Carmilla's hold and weakened her before she could fully reform her body. I don't know. I guess the point is she, yeah, I think she still wasn't that strong because she was still kind of coming back to life, and he should have, in her plan, should have been hypnotized by visions of his mom, but he already knew what was happening. You know, he resisted. I think that's kind of what it is. Like, lightning sucks, but it wasn't that bad. He wasn't distracted at the same time.
All right.
Have you ever been struck by lightning and you just keep doing what you were doing, like going to the grocery store or whatever?
No, I always have to take a nap after.
Oh, that's it. You're just in the lightning, like, ow, 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 time for a sleep.
I'm sleepy.
So the movie wraps up with, yeah, these two people go, the dead girl and the vampire guy, Meyerling, go to the stars in a spaceship. His laptop's going to die in 2 minutes. And we just see that Layla has kind of like, she feels like empathy for them and is just cheering on the spaceship as it's flying away. Dee, I don't know, he just disappears. Dee for disappears. Probably gets his money from the family, gives him the ring.
Dee for Dees.
And then decades later, we see a funeral with this little blonde girl. Looks like Layla. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a flashback at first.
Yeah.
But it's actually, it turns out, Layla's granddaughter. She sees Dee off in the distance and goes up to him. And she's like, oh, our grandmother, you know, Layla told us about you. Mm-hmm. You're that Dompier that helped her years ago. Why are you here? And he's like, I was going to keep a promise, but it turns out that I don't have to, which is good. Because it turns out she had a family, people, lots of people threw flowers on her coffin after she died. And so he came back just in case. He was going to be like, is lot 32D that, you know, he thought he'd have to like find her name. It'd be really awkward and put the one flower on there. But no, she had a family.
I think it's such a sad, like kind of bittersweet ending because he makes all these friends along his lifetime and he, you know, has to watch them all die.
Yeah. Well, that's what sucks about being immortal.
It's sad.
So it is sort of a bittersweet, sad ending. But that feels like a staple of vampire literature, is the tragedy of having immortality and watching everyone you love die. But I think when you live a long time, family and lovers dying, it's probably like what a dog is when a dog dies to us regular people.
No.
Devastating. It sucks and it's bad. It's really bad. But it's that's not that bad.
It's tragic. He has to live his life alone.
Is it tragic that we have pets that die? I don't think so. Don't buy a dog if you can't watch that dog die in front of you in real time.
I don't like this.
All right. I'm full of shit anyway. I've never had to do that. I've never had a dog. Yeah, this was good. And, you know, maybe comparing it to JoJo would be a mistake because it's like JoJo in the way that a lot of manga and anime are, where it's just the most ridiculous extreme version of everything. But it was fun seeing these characters, especially the Marcus brothers, that were all dressed in like the craziest strange outfits and had powers that were just like just really imaginative and odd, except for a few that were just like, that guy has a hammer and he's a wolf man who is just he's a really good wolf man, but that's it. He sucks in comparison to the guys that trap you in fake chariot cloths in the ground.
I think if you like JoJo's, you would like this.
Maybe. I think so too.
I agree.
I would have loved to have seen like a good film quality adaptation of JoJo's. That Phantom Blood movie will probably never come out. I think one of the voice actors in this played Will Zeppeli in the feature length anime that will never see the light of day. Yeah, I recommend this. This made me want to see the 1985 movie as well. I don't know if it's the same director and artist. It's probably not. So I also want to see Ninja Scroll because it's the same director of this movie. So what someone should do is sign up for our Patreon, pay $20 and say Ninja Scroll. because even though I already admitted that I want to watch it, give me money.
What's the next one we're watching?
Oh, that's right. The next thing we're watching is going to be the Read or Die OVA. Miles, are you familiar with Read or Die?
No.
I feel like this was also big in the late 90s or around 2000. And this is a pick from Chad off the Patreon as well. It's like a 3-episode OVA.
Oh my God, I've seen this.
You've seen this?
Yeah.
Is it good? Are we in trouble? Is this going to suck?
I like barely remember it. It was like one of the first things that I like got off. I got it off like some IRC chat. I watched it with my
brother. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You had to type in the text commands to get that RAR file.
Yes, it was complicated. Yeah. And I probably couldn't replicate that effort today.
I think I briefly tried to be one of those file dumps and then I was like, fuck this.
I remember liking it. It's like, it's super well animated.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Okay. This and thinking about Ninja Scroll and other OVAs, like this is just reminding me that my theory is correct. That movies and OVAs, limited series basically, are better than TV shows.
All right, let's just watch.
Just only OVAs?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like you can't tell a good story once you get past like 6 episodes. It's like you're just stretching it thin, except for JoJo's. I mean, that's not a lot of JoJo's is not a good story overall. It's a bunch of weird shit. And as far as weird shit goes, it's very good. But movies and OVAs, man, the animation, like the quality is just really high and consistent throughout. I think it's also that tells you that money can buy great art. Follow us on Twitter at JJBpod. Write to us any thoughts about you know, money and entertainment or vampires or Carmilla.
Yeah.
JoJo'sBizarrePod@gmail.com is that address. We're on Twitch, by the way, twitch.tv/JJBpod. Give us a follow and say hi next time we're streaming because we want to get to affiliate status and make 4 cents a month.
And we're on Twitter, JJBpod.
Miles, what else do you have about us?
That's it. I got to go.
No, you're going to do a newsletter, right?
Oh, yeah. I did it last week, and I'm going to do it again.
Nice. So that's on our Patreon. Also, JJBpod. We should go. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Go out there and animate.
But don't go out.
Don't leave.
Stay home.
Stay home.
Yep.
Asshole.